Wonderful. So there's a song that we sang together on a Sunday morning a few weeks ago. And I've put the words on the slide, which should come up on the screen. We also sang this song a couple of weeks ago when it was our Shine Sunday with the families and kids in the back hall. And this is it. Jesus is the King, ruler over everything. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus, he is the King. He is the King. I'm not sure when that was written, but quite recently. And then last Sunday, we sang a well-loved, well-known hymn, which I've also put on a slide so that we can be reminded of the words. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. Now, I've never tried to write a song or a hymn myself, but I've often wondered, where do people get their ideas from, those who do write songs? Because both of these songs have the same theme, don't they? Jesus is the King. He is the King of heaven. Jesus is the everlasting King. Where do those ideas come from? Last Sunday, we came to the end of our series looking at the book of Daniel. And as Lou has already mentioned, today we're back in Matthew's Gospel. And if we thought it took us a long time to go through the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel, we've actually spent the last 5 years working our way through Matthew's Gospel, and we're not even halfway yet. For those with a really good memory, this time last year we were looking at chapters 10 to 13, and we gave that section the title Secrets of the Kingdom. And given that our memories can be a bit hazy, we thought that it would be a good idea to recap what we have in the first 13 chapters of Matthew this morning before diving back into it. So hopefully you're all there in Matthew's Gospel, page 965, if you've got one of the blue church Bibles or wherever you are in your own. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have similarities, obviously, but they're all different as well. Each of the four Gospels is different from the others. So I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work. You can do this just on your own. It's absolutely fine. Or if you want to chat with the people around you, I would like you just to flick through the chapters of the book of Matthew and see if you can work out what is different about Matthew's Gospel compared to the other three Gospels. So again, you can do that purely on your own, or if you'd like to and you feel able to talk with the people around you, I'm looking for us to come up with differences, things that make Matthew's Gospel different from the other three Gospels. And I'm going to give you just 2 minutes to do that, 2 or 3 minutes. Great. Okay, so we have four Gospels, four different accounts of Jesus' life. Anyone like to suggest what makes Matthew's Gospel different from the other three? Trinda? Excellent. So there's a genealogy. The book starts with like a family tree, and that's different from how the other three Gospels start. Brilliant. What else? Who said that? The Holy Spirit. Now, that's an interesting one, Mustafa, because I think we'll probably find the Holy Spirit in all four of the Gospels. So that wouldn't necessarily make Matthew different from the others. What would make Matthew different from the other three Gospels? Any other suggestions? Excellent. Two good answers. So in Matthew, we've got the Sermon on the Mount from chapters 5 to chapter 7. And we have something a little bit similar and a little bit shorter in Luke's Gospel, but it's a feature of Matthew's Gospel. And Gordon, you said prophecy?
Old Testament prophecy.
Old Testament prophecy. There are lots of references in Matthew's Gospel back to the Old Testament and the Old Testament being fulfilled. And I think when we started Matthew's Gospel 5 years ago, the title that we gave to the very first section, the first four chapters, was A Time of Fulfillment, Because again and again, we have passages from the Old Testament quoted by Matthew, and then this is being fulfilled in the life of Jesus. And that is a feature of Matthew's gospel as well. So we've already had three very good answers, Philip. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So Luke has a little bit about Jesus, his birth and his childhood as well, but Matthew has a very different take on that. And those passages at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 1 and 2, we won't find anywhere else in the Bible. You have one more opportunity for someone to say a difference between Matthew's Gospel and the other Gospels. Ah! Possibly. Luke is a pretty long gospel as well. I don't know which has the most chapters, but we could count the pages and see whether Ardell is right in saying that Matthew's the longest. At the beginning of Luke's gospel, and we had this when we were looking at Luke during Advent and the run-up to Christmas, there are a couple of verses at the beginning of Luke's gospel that explain why Luke had written his gospel. They should come up on the screen. So Luke wrote this: many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. So many, so that's more than four probably, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. And then he goes on, with this in mind. So this is Luke's purpose. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So Luke has this statement at the beginning of his gospel saying, well, this is why I've written. And then towards the end of John's gospel, he also has a statement about why he's written his gospel. So if that could come up as well. So John writes, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, in John's gospel. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So both Luke and John make it very clear why they are writing their gospels. We don't have that in Matthew's gospel. In fact, we don't even have anything that says Matthew was the one who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. But we do have the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus finishes by saying this. Or Matthew records, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And then a little bit further on in Matthew, in chapter 10, we have more of Jesus' teaching. And when he finishes teaching his disciples at the beginning of chapter 11, if you turn to it, chapter 11, verse 1, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And then a little bit further on, in chapter 13, we have Jesus telling a whole series of parables. And again, this is different. Some of the other Gospels have parables in them, but Matthew includes a whole section of parables about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus tells. And then at the end of chapter 13, or towards the end of chapter 13, in verse 53, Matthew writes, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. So they're already in the first section that we've covered up to the end of chapter 13. Three times we have a very similar thing that Matthew says. When Jesus had finished teaching these things, when Jesus had finished saying these things, when Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he moved on. And in fact, there are two other places in Matthew's gospel where we have a very similar phrase. So Matthew chapter 19, verse 1. This won't come up on the screen, but if you want to turn to it, Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. And then at the beginning of chapter 26, Matthew writes, when Jesus had finished saying all of these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. So 5 times in this gospel, we have a very similar phrase that comes after Jesus has been teaching. Now we find Jesus teaching in all of the 4 gospels, but Matthew has structured his gospel so that there are 5 sections where Jesus is teaching his disciples. And we might wonder, well, why is that? Why has Matthew done that? When these gospels were originally written, they didn't have the structure that we have today with it broken into chapters. But I think for Matthew to help his readers to make sense of this book, he's included these 5 markers over the course of the gospel that create sections, if you like, of Jesus' teaching. And the reason I think Jesus taught so much, that Matthew structures his gospel in that way, has to do with something that we read in chapter 4. If you can turn to chapter 4. And verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people, or I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus taught a lot, but he called people to follow him. He called disciples to follow him. Ordinary people, fishermen, called Matthew, who's a tax collector. He called others to follow him. And then if we turn right to the end of Matthew's gospel, we find the final thing that Jesus says to those disciples that he called right at the beginning. So Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, we get that. When Jesus calms the storm, he says, why have you got such little faith?
Yeah, in chapter 6, 14, 16, and 17.
Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? Another 5 repetitions of you of little faith. And yet, at the end, he's committing everything to these people. They've got the job of taking the gospel out and making disciples of all nations. And if making disciples for Jesus is about teaching others to obey everything that he has commanded, then perhaps Matthew's helping us in the gospel to hear what Jesus commanded, to learn what Jesus taught, so that we can then put that into practice. So I think that is the way of making sense of Matthew's gospel, is to go right to the end to see where Matthew takes us to, where Matthew wants to end, and then to work back through the rest of the gospel and see, okay, well, how does that help us to do what he says right at the end? In the Old Testament, it was God who gave the instructions. It was God who commanded people to live his way, to follow his laws, to follow his instructions. And here it's Jesus saying, teach everyone to obey everything that I have commanded. And that idea of Jesus being the king that I've already touched on, Jesus being the one who was promised, Jesus being the ruler over everything, Jesus being the Messiah, goes right the way through Matthew's gospel. And what does it mean for Jesus to be king? It's one thing to believe that Jesus is the king, but it's quite another thing for us here today to live our lives recognizing that Jesus is king, living with him as our king, as our Lord. And that's the challenge, isn't it? And then teaching others to follow Jesus, to follow his instructions, to follow what he says. I was really struck reading through Matthew's gospel, having finished our series on the book of Daniel, that it goes so well together. What we discovered about God and about Daniel's relationship with God in the book of Daniel is very much echoed with Jesus in this Gospel of Matthew. And I found that very, very motivating, very exciting, and the things that Jesus taught, clearly there are echoes of what we find in the book of Daniel. And I'd encourage you very much to reread this first half of the Gospel of Matthew before we dive into it in detail next week. I think you'll find it very encouraging, especially if you've been with us as we've been looking through the book of Daniel. And let's think together about what it means to then pass on what we know about Jesus, what we know about following Jesus, what we know about the things that he taught. The whole of the Sermon on the Mount is packed with instructions that we find a real challenge to follow. But this is the heart of Matthew's gospel. This is what Matthew wants us to pay attention to. This is what Jesus wants us to pay attention to as well. So let's finish just by going back to those words of the song that we started with. Jesus is the king. That's what we find in Matthew's gospel. Ruler over everything. That's what was promised in the book of Daniel. Jesus is the one, promised one, the Son of God. And remember in Matthew 7, there's that vision that Daniel saw of heaven, of God enthroned, and of the one who came, like the Son of Man, to be given the everlasting kingdom. Jesus is the Lord. He's the one you can't ignore. Jesus is the King. He is the King. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you help us, Lord. You help us every day as we seek to follow you and follow your ways. Lord, thank you that you teach us. You teach us through your word. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to take your words to heart. Lord, that we would hear you speaking to us day after day after day, Lord, showing us the way, showing us how you want us to live. Lord, and please help us not only to live our lives as you want us to, but to share what we know about you with others. Lord, thank you that you've placed other people around us, Lord, people that we care for, people that we've got to know. Lord, help us to have that desire for them also to follow you, to live for you, to live with you as their king. Lord, help us to take these things on board. Help us to be those who learn from you for the whole of our lives. Lord, thank you that you are the one who is worthy of the eternal kingdom that you've been given by your Father. Lord, help and encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.